Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation, which is open mic to mic Friday. Any topic that you care to discuss, whether it be the murder in San Francisco that's being swept under the rug, the elevator shaft murder. It's amazing. Not covered by anybody in the media. I mean, even if it was an accident, it's a major story. But no, not the San Francisco media. They're obsessed with the Mormons and the homosexual marriage. Useless. That's why the papers are going bankrupt. That's why the empty skirts in the newsroom are being fired, because you're not watching it. Why? What's the point of watching the evening news if there's no news? What is the point of buying a newspaper if there's no news? You don't buy the paper. You don't watch the colorful news at night. Colorful news with dimwits covering nothing. News and weather every 5 minutes. Here are the headlines here. OJ gets juiced 9 to 33 years. Imagine that. He gets away with murder, according to most Americans. That he skips on, plays golf, has a good time for many years, and he gets nailed on a little minor bunco here, a little robbery. But they threw the book at him in Las Vegas. You can't mess with the judges in Las Vegas. They're not to be tampered with. Their sitter made porn with their child. This comes out of St. Paul Pioneer Press. It's astonishing, a shocker. A man goes on to Craigslist. He advertises his babysitting services. He's 25 years old. He gets into the house, and he uses the couple's two-year-old girl to make a porn video, which he then shares with other sick perverts who should be chopped up and thrown into a piranha tank. Their sitter made porn with their child, which leads me to a question, which are babysitter horror stories. A couple hires a babysitter through Craigslist, and he uses their two-year-old daughter in a child porn video. I believe he should be given the death penalty, and I think they have a video of him. The FBI was actually surfing the San Francisco area where apparently these child molesters thrive, and they backed into this guy, this piece of human offal. What do you mean 30 years in jail? He's insane. A lifetime of pain, a lifetime of insanity. This piece of offal should get 30 years? Anyway, I don't want to talk about what should be done to him. I want to ask you if you have any babysitting horror stories. What do you do to check on babysitters? Topic number next. We read yesterday, we gave it to you first, that the Leprechaun is finished in radio. He flopped. And they say 400 stations. Now, that's like saying there's 400 savings and loans in America. He flopped because the show sucked in plain English. I mean, see, he had a yes girl sitting next to him, but he failed in talk radio. Why did O'Reilly fail in talk radio, number one? Number two, who is next to go in talk radio? Who will fail next? The newspapers are going under. The TV shows are going under. They just laid off at ABC News, at CNN, Miles O'Brien. He's an average guy, did science technology. He'll be in a cafe plotting the revolution with the rest of the libs. So who will fall next in talk radio? Who is the most boring conservative talker? What is the single biggest reason you listen to talk radio? Another topic I'm going to talk about today, and it's way off the beam, is the Mayan civilization. You say, what? Now, the reason I become interested in the Mayan civilization, and believe me, I'm not an expert on this at all. First of all, although I have higher degrees, and one of them is in anthropology, it's not my PhD, number one. But number two, I was not interested in Mesoamerica. I was interested in the South Pacific, where I spent most of my studies. But now I've been recently becoming interested in the ancient Mayans, possibly because of their descendants in the lawn and housekeeping business that I see here. The descendants are here with the leaf blowers and picking strawberries. And I'm not mocking them. There's a lesson in here. There's a lesson in this, rather. The descendants of the Mayans are here in America today. They may be working in your garden, picking strawberries, because they're very hard workers. Their empire has been gone for 1,000 years. But the fact of the matter is, our empire is being dismantled as well. Americans have become so insular, so decadent, so idiotic in their apathy. The leadership is so defunct that some of them truly seem to believe that they are the only ones to have ever had great power, and there is no chance America could lose it. Well, Jorge Santayana, the Spanish philosopher, of course, wrote, "Those who do not know their history are doomed to repeat it." The Mayans refused to protect their borders, language, and culture. And so everything they had created, and it was a masterful civilization, their civilization fell apart because they lost their sense of who they were as a people. And here we are today. Now, I don't know the reason why the Mayans disappeared. I mean, there are various conflicting theories. They had advanced systems of writing, advanced agriculture, advanced astronomy, advanced mathematics. And yet, somehow, hundreds of years before the arrival of the Spanish, remember, before the arrival of the Europeans, the Mayan civilization collapsed. There are many who say that the cause of this collapse was environmental, not global warming, but the fact that they destroyed their own environment because of overpopulation. Well, we have overpopulation in America, primarily from illegal aliens. What would you call the state of California, which is bankrupt, when you have over a spillover of people who are here who can't afford medical care, who are using the medical care that is being paid for by hardworking taxpayers? Isn't that an example of overpopulation, of people who have swarmed over the borders? And then you got the muscle man, the ex-muscle man, Arnold Schwarzenegger. We have a picture of him then and now on michaelsavage.com. I'm in better shape than him. And the headline is, Arnold Bus California Won't Stop Benefits to Illegal Aliens. How come all the states are out with a begging cup, and not one of these fraudulent governors will say, enough is enough, we're closing the emergency rooms to illegal aliens. We have compassion for them, but we can't afford it. So we're putting a state trooper in every emergency room, and in order to get care, you have to show that you are a resident of the state. Otherwise, I'm sorry, you're going to be turned away. What is wrong with them? How can they not do this? How can they not understand that the people can't pay any more taxes, that they won't pay any more taxes? Well, I know why, because they're afraid of the Hispanic voting bloc. That's no reason to let a nation go bankrupt. That's no reason to let a state go bankrupt. So those are some of the topics that have been bouncing around. Death elevator shows signs of struggle. The pictures are still up on michaelsavage.com. Apparently, the police have seen these pictures, and they're not commenting. Whether they are still conducting an investigation, I have no idea. They won't talk to the press. And, of course, since nobody in the media is interested in this story, they don't have to talk to you. And since there's no Jewish community in San Francisco to speak of, it's virtually non-existent, there's no pressure on the police to perform their duties in this case. There is no Jewish community. Oh, yes, on certain issues you'll hear something muttering once in a while, but there's no Jewish leadership in the Bay Area that I can think of, it because if there was, they'd be demanding an investigation of this amazing story. But as I say, Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, and some other prominent people of Jewish descent you think would be interested, but they're not interested. They're frauds through and through. So, therefore, the story will be swept under the rug. I hope that the autopsy comes out shortly and it's made public so that we can all see what the results are. 1-800-449-829. I forgot my number already. Proposal for ban on new mosques sparks ire in Italy. Really? Some Italians are saying no more mosques? What kind of Italians are they? You mean they're not tolerant? How in the world can you not let the Muslims take over Italy? What's wrong with you? You don't go to your churches anymore. You're interested in playing foosball, getting stoned, and not having children. Why should you care if the Muslims take over Italy? You're not worthy of a nation. Let the Muslims have Italy. Let them have England. Let them have America. They know how to have families and children and worship God. Why should you stand in their way? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Open mic to mic on the Savage Nation. All the topics of the week and then some. I'm with you till the end of the day here. Make the music louder, will you, for God's sakes? I need some energy today. That's good. God, I got to turn off that You Got Mail thing. It interrupts my show. I'm having a reverie here. It's off. How come no one's calling on why the leprechaun failed in talk radio? I mean, this is a major story. The guy was so full of himself, thought he was invincible. Bill O'Reilly. He was so great there. When he didn't have a teleprompter there, he wasn't so smart. And he had that dunce woman with him with the lipstick up to her nose. Big deal. No, I'm not going to be, why should I be nice to, we're not on the same team. You know, many of you are so gullible, you think that there's a team here in radio. Think everyone likes each other. I don't even know anybody. They don't know me. When I needed them this year, they weren't there for me. I was there for Rush when he had the drug charges brought against him, by the way. And I supported the leprechaun when they brought the sex charges against him, by the way. And when my turn came, you know where they were? Nowhere. So don't tell me I should be so nice to them. You people don't even understand what the media is all about. Ruthless. Ruthless. Think cage fighting, verbal cage fighting. That's what we do. Verbal cage fighters on the Savage Nation. I love to watch. I don't know how these guys bang each other around like this. And I don't know how they live. I don't. Some people are so much stronger than others. That is an amazing thing. Physically, as you well know, there's a tremendous gamut of strength in the human species. But the same in the mind. You look at a guy on a mat, you say, you could never take that punishment, which is true. You couldn't, nor could I. But it's the same with the mind. Don't you understand that? We're not all equal. No matter how many morons you shove into college, they're not going to make anything of themselves. They don't belong in college. College, college boy. You ever see what's in college today? What college boy? You see what they march around, what they do there? The minute they get there, they bring their background to the college. Wonderful. Everyone needs a college education. Right away, they start doing the sex, drugs, and rock and roll. A minute, they're in there. But I don't blame them. The teachers are worse than they are. That's what they did with the whole college today, with the teachers. Take a look at who they hire. Well, there's going to be plenty of people out of the newspaper business soon. More than 30 newspapers are for sale, and buyers are scarce. Who would buy the paper? Nobody reads them. All right, in Marin County, California, the elders, you see them with the finger going down every column. Look there. They sit in the table. Now, look at this article. Look what it says. It says conservatives responsible for global warming, racism, kicking puppies, the busted economy, and low gas mileage. Look at that. It says Barack Obama, closest thing to God. Hon, did you read that article? Barack Obama, closest thing to God. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. From the Mayans to the Myers in one generation. It's gone from a Mayan civilization to a Meyer civilization, as in Meyer Lansky. I mean, I you know what I'm saying, Meyer, M-E-Y-E-R. From the Mayans to the Myers in one generation, it's funny in its own way. Or if you don't prefer that, the ethnic side, you could say from the Mayans to the Meyer in one generation. From the Mayans to the Meyer, M-I-R-E, but you have to look up Meyer, a different kind of Meyer, Moat in the Meyer. It's not a bad word. Houston, Mark, you're on the Savage Nation topic. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I had a question regarding the Mayan civilization. It's been years since I studied it, but I remember a theory about the end of the world, December 12th, 2012, I believe.
Yeah. I've been waiting for that one. I hope I'm still around. I like to see the end of the world. I mean, I hope I'm here to watch it. I mean, I want to take pictures of it. You know, maybe I can post them on my website.
They were fairly advanced in astronomy, and I believe they had Pluto plotted.
Oh, yeah, they were so advanced, they have leaf blowers now, yeah. Well, why would they say, we keep hearing how advanced they were, why do you think their civilization collapsed?
Probably the same reason ours is.
Yeah, corruption of the leaders is my estimation. morons and degenerates took over the Mayan civilization, and the commoners who built the civilization watched the whole thing collapse because of the degeneracy at the top.
They were sacrificed.
That's why I'm fascinated by the Mayan civilization, that such an advanced civilization could disappear virtually in a virtually short period of time, geographic time, very short, advanced mathematics, advanced astronomy, advanced agricultural systems, and there's a couple of competing theories of why the Mayans disappeared. But our civilization is disappearing. Make no mistake about it. If you have a cosmic eye and you look at this country, it's disappearing. It's melting down. Take a look at the leader we had and take a look at the leader we're getting. You're telling me Obama is a big leader? Obama is a fraud. Obama is a small little politician from the Chicago wards, and now suddenly he's president. The only reason he's president is because George Bush ushered this man in. The people so detested George Bush and the Republican cronies that they chose anybody but him. They certainly didn't want John McShane. They knew he was a hack and a repeat of Bush. So they said, I'll even take a chance on him. It was a protest vote. I want to show you how smart this leftist is, though, this leftist administration. So people say, oh, he's a leftist. Well, he is a leftist. He's the most far-left radical in the history of the U.S. Senate, Obama. So you say, well, he hasn't done anything yet. All of the people he selected are centrist. Yeah, well, that's how they operate. If you understand Fabian socialism, which is a very long story, which I touched on only once in my 15-year career, you'll understand that we don't have the naked Marxist Bolshevik communist of yesteryear anymore. They learned a long time ago that to bring about a communist revolution in a country like this overnight would be impossible. They'd get blowback immediately and they'd be hung on the gallows. So they learned that you don't do it the Bill Ayers way of putting bombs onto police cars. What you do is you triangulate your opposition. You appoint some of the opposition's people in positions where they can be overridden, so that the opposition is gulled into believing that you're not as bad as they think you are. And then slowly but surely you start to turn the grip on the people. And before they know it, they're living in Cuba. Now, you got to understand what Fabian socialism is, which I explained to you once before in the Savage Nation. In essence, it's a slow-moving left-wing revolution. It's done slowly and not violently. That is who Obama is. He's a Fabian socialist.
Savage.
Rock and Roll Friday and the Savage Nation. It's not the song I asked, but turn it off. I want to hear that one about the... what's that island off the coast of L.A.? Yeah, let's hear it. The one I like. I'm in the mood for that one. I'm in the mood for Love by the Sewer Plant. That was quite a day. You get older, you look back. Big deal. It's nothing today. Nothing. That's the one. I've only been there twice in my life. Catalina, what a beautiful ride that is. Out of Marina Del Rey to Catalina. Beautiful ride. Really nothing comparable here in the San Francisco area. There's nowhere to go. Go to the Bay. There's like one dock you can pull up. Well, what's wrong with the Bay Area? Everyone prides themselves on how great it is. There's not a dock to go to. There's one schmuck dock in Alameda. Sam's everyone goes to. Big deal. Bunch of morons at Sam's. You can't even get in there. There's no way to go with a boat here. You go to like Newport, 100 restaurants you can choose from. Everywhere there's a boating community, 1,000 restaurants except the Bay Area. It's too good to build another restaurant on the water. It'll hurt the Bay. How about the filthy condoms they float in the Bay here? Degenerates. Medical waste they throw in from the hospitals better. One of the seals can't have any pups. They don't want to have any here. They came up once and took a look and went back underwater and never came back. Anyway, what am I going to tell you? After Mumbai, goodbye Mumbai. They're going to get killed one after another, Mumbai. They still haven't hit back yet. The Indians, they took a bamboo cane to a gunfight. The idiots running around with bamboo canes in Mumbai, and the Muslims came there with machine guns and hand grenades. And they wonder why they got overrun. They still haven't given them guns yet, except the one tax squad with vests that didn't fit. From New York and Washington to Madrid and London, from Beslan and Baghdad to Islamabad and Bali, the seekers of a Taliban-like caliphate continue to adapt their tactics, says Waleed Faris. Read it. After Mumbai, the terror attacks will get worse. Read it. Written by a Muslim. Read about it. Dr. Waleed Faris, the terror attacks will be worse. Urban jihad is open for business. Real jihadi claims beyond Kashmir. Trans-regional forces trump local forces. And why? Why? You don't have to look any further than San Francisco. Think about why the police are covering up the elevator shaft mystery. Think about it. There's only one explanation, and I don't have the answer. Maybe you have the answer for me. Why everyone's mum on that subject. Well, we'll move on and talk about OJ. That's a very fascinating topic. Like I really care about OJ. So that's why I said the babysitter horror stories would be more human interest to me. Well, look at those pictures of Schwarzenegger after the roids were gone. Look at that. Arnold Bus, California, won't stop benefits to illegal aliens. Oof. I was warned when I was 16, 17 and lifting weights that a lot of weightlifters, when they hit 50, they look like, you know, the pecs started to hang like their mother. And it's true. That's why you got to be careful with the weightlifting when you're young. If you use those roids, if you live to 50 without a heart attack, you're going to look like your grandmother. So you may as well become a cross-dresser now and get the outfit. You may as well get the clothing. What do you want to talk about? It's Friday. Let me have a break. Mayans? No, that's out dead in the water because I'm interested in it. Doesn't mean you are. Fabian socialism? You thought I was talking about Fabian, the rock and roll singer. That he was ahead of his curve. He was really a communist and he was making rock and roll songs that secretly had socialist lyrics in them. No, that's not what I mean by Fabian socialism. Do you have a Fabian song you could play for me on the Savage Nation? I want to hear a Fabian song. Any Fabian song will be fine. Break that record. Wow. Imagine what he looks like today. See these guys, when they were young, they were like Lotharios. Man, the women liked them. You were like schlepping along a geometry, trigonometry, ugly corduroy pants. The most you thought you'd be is a dentist or like a lawyer. And like, you could never be like them. Then as years go on, you take a look at them in L.A. They're on their behinds. They don't have a nickel. They don't know what to do for a dime. They live in a house that you wouldn't live in, left over from when it was a hot house in 1963. But they're still in it, mind you. And they're grubbing around the whole town looking for a buck. It's terrible to see, but that's the way it is. Some make it young, and then they have nothing when they get older. So you have to decide, you know, which way it's better. I think it's better to have a success when you're older than when you're younger, because a lot of people make it younger. They, number one, they blow it, or they die of a drug overdose. That's something that intrigues me. Why did so many, like Jimi Hendrix, for example. So why did he die of a drug overdose? Why did he have to? Well, I don't have an answer. He's a drug addict. Why? Why? And why did they boo him toward the end? Why was, I remember when he did all the great songs, Purple Haze, Along the Watchtower. And then there was a sequence where he started to play and they started booing him on the stage toward the end of his life, Jimi Hendrix. I don't know why. Does anybody know why they booed him? I don't get that part of it. Could you play Purple Haze for me? You started it and stopped it. What, do you want to give me a mini shock? What, the record broke? There you go. Let's do a 60s nostalgia show.
Excuse me while I kiss the sky.
With that music and the hippies who destroyed San Francisco, that mentality has produced the leadership that we have in this city today. That hippie, druggy mentality has destroyed this great city that was not built by them. Remember, the city was built by previous generations, and these interlopers came here and destroyed it with their so-called progressive ideals. They're so progressive that, A, they couldn't run a hot dog stand. They're so progressive that they couldn't have a child. They're so progressive they wouldn't know what a child is like. They're so progressive that the city is melting down in front of their eyes. They have a murder rate out of control, over 100 homicides in San Francisco, and the schmuck mayor is talking about global warming, and the airport's going to go underwater one of these days, and we have to have a green city, so we're getting out of the power plant business. This is a direct result of the hippie mentality of the 1960s. Don't you understand that? It's a direct result of it. How else could you explain it? So I'm talking to myself again. You're not interested in this. Why should I care? Why should I? What do I have to? What am I, Atlas? Atlas shrugged also. I shrugged a long time ago. When he shrugged, the world fell down. I'm not Atlas. I'm one man, flesh and bone, sitting here in front of a microphone. You are, I don't know what's wrong with the country. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I could lay the blame at the foot of the media, and I'd be pretty close to the truth. It's the vermin in the media who did this to this country. It's not you who did it. It's the vermin who took over the media who destroyed the country's mind. Because in many ways, the media is the mind of the nation, when you think about it. The images they choose to project out onto the television screens, the images they project onto the movie screens, the images that they choose to put out on their newspapers and their magazines, they create the mindset of the nation. And since most of the people in the media over the last 20 to 30 years have been of the hippie persuasion, the anti-establishment persuasion, the degenerate persuasion, the pervert persuasion, the hate mom and pop persuasion, the hate the church and synagogue persuasion, anything but America persuasion, what you have today is a collapsed nation. America's lost its mind because of the vermin in the media. Now, the question is whether the newspapers will collapse fast enough and the TV shows will go away fast enough for America to survive. That's the question. I can't wait till they're gone altogether. Maybe from the ashes, another nation of news will arise. A different news will arise. The news of America rather than the news of the psycho. That wasn't bad for a Friday. I think I'm going to take a vacation next week. I had enough. I think I'm going to go somewhere and I'll be back and I'll tell you about it when I come back. That's all. I had enough of this. I need to get out of town. I need to get out of Dodge. I need to dodge out of town. Or I need to get out of Dodge. Or I need to dodge out of town. Either way, it works for me. So you want to do babysitter horror stories? I mean, that's like a low-scale low-scale interest story. I had one. I had one in my time. Oh, yeah. I had everything I already had in life. Years ago now. Now, this is another true story, but I'll tell it to you. I won't say where, when, or how. The child was young, extremely young. I don't even remember how old. We were living in a very remote, small cottage when I was a graduate student. And as most young couples, you know, you need to get away from the child every once in a while. It's very healthy to do that. But we didn't have family at that. We were living thousands of miles away from the hometown. And so we hired a babysitter. And I think it was from a newspaper. So she comes to the house. I'd say it was a one-room cottage we were in. $90 a month we were paying, whatever. If that. Nice enough older woman, a lot of perfume, I remember, too much lipstick. Right away, I got a migraine from it, but that was just my own craziness. That wasn't the reason. It was something about her other than the bad perfume that threw me off. And I was reluctant to leave. We both had a feeling for a moment that something was not right with her. But then we said, come on, we're just being paranoid. As we're leaving, it was at night, of course, as we're driving down this long, remote road that led up to this cottage, and it was pretty remote in the back of a valley. As we made a turn, lurking in the bushes was a man who I caught through the corner of my eye because I've always been extremely suspicious of my surroundings. Bingo, I saw the man in the bushes. I said, that's it. Turn the car, let's whip back, go back to the house. I didn't say one word to the woman. I said, we changed our mind. She says, oh, how come? How come? Aren't you going to have a nice night? No, we just changed our mind. We paid her for the night, and that was it. We never got another babysitter unless we knew the person. And I'm warning you people that just as you don't understand the danger you are in raising your children in America, you can't trust your schools, you can't trust the teachers, they're perverting your child's mind. In most cases, they're filling your child with hatred towards you, hatred toward the society. And, of course, they're trying to turn them into sexual beings that they are not. So you don't even understand the danger you're in. Now, you want me to bring it up to a macro scale? Think Islamofascism. But you don't want to accept that. That's because you psycho-liberals have led yourself to believe, lulled yourself into believing, that if only you elected Obama, all of it will go away, that it was aimed at George Bush. You'll find out just how naive you are. and I'll be right back.
Savage.
John is in the basement mixing up the medicine. I'm on the pavement thinking about the government. The man in a trench coat, batch out laid off, says he's got a bad cough, wants to get it paid off. Look out, kid, it's something you did. God knows when, but you're doing it again. You better duck down the alleyway looking for a new friend. The man in the coonskin cap.
So the 60s were a very exciting time, but people didn't realize that it would have consequences, and here they are. Here are the consequences. You have people in power who are still acting out the 1960s mores, and they don't understand that it never worked and it never will work, and they don't understand what they're even doing to this country, what they're doing to this country. They haven't any idea, most of them. They're not Marxist revolutionaries. Most of them are well-meaning hippies who are deranged from so many years of smoking pot, and that's why I affectionately determine them to be RDDBs, red diaper doper babies. Red diaper doper babies. They were raised in left-wing homes. That's the red diaper baby. That's a well-known phrase. But I added the other D, which is doper. If you take a red diaper baby and then you add dope for 30 or so years, and what you wind up with is a red diaper doper baby, with an extremely noxious human being who will gut a nation and not even know they're doing it. Some of them actually do know they're doing it. Very few of them. Most of them think they're doing good. They're doing fine. They're doing well for people. Watch out for the do-gooders, my friends, because as you well know, the road to you nowhere is paved with good intentions. Yes, 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 yes. Why should I be telling you any of this? It's not going to change anything. So let's take the callers on the Savage Nation. Florida, Richard, you're on the Savage Nation topic. Please go ahead.
Good evening. I'd like to talk about Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the president that really had things cooking here in America when we were in the Depression.
Well, we're listening. Go ahead. You made a statement. Is that the whole statement? He had things cooking, and now what?
You're down a little bit, so I wouldn't annoy you. I don't think we Americans can export a bridge. We can't export a road, and we can't export a building, and we can't export, you know, our infrastructure, our sewers, our water plants, this, that, and the other. I cannot for the life of me understand why America is not working. I mean, everybody's sitting on their
own. You're actually mistaken that we can't export our roads. Do you know that many toll roads have been sold to foreign entities? Do you know that many bridges in this country have been sold to foreign powers? Are you aware of that?
Sure.
If the last I checked, the Indiana Toll Road was sold to a foreign nation. They're owned by a foreign nation. Many of our ports are owned by foreign nations. They're operated by foreign nations. This last generation of leadership is the most quisling in the history of this country. They should be taken out and tried for treason.
I agree 100%. Franklin Delano Roosevelt is one that I've studied very thoroughly, and that man had a lot going for him. I wish we had somebody like him in office.
Well,
right now.
Okay. I mean, FDR was a little overreach in some areas. He overreached so far that the Supreme Court had to smack him down. He overreached to the extent that he tried to stock the Supreme Court with additional members in order to get his way. Are you aware of any of that?
Of course.
But okay. Well, you see, but that they're using FDR as a model, a role model for Obama. That's what the media has been doing for months now. Obama, FDR, FDR, Obama, Obama, FDR. They're trying to tell us that we need another FDR-like social network. Now, in some regard, I agree with it, by the way. Don't assume I'm automatically against it. Because I've come up from a poor family, and I know what the WPA did at that time. But remember, here's the differential. While there were government programs for out-of-work men, such as my father when he was young, there was not wide-scale unemployment insurance, and there was not wide-scale welfare for able-bodied bums to sit around and watch Oprah Winfrey. And moreover, there weren't 30 million illegal aliens or 10% of the population of illegal aliens sucking the social system dry. So it's not comparable to FDR's times in so many different ways that a gigantic social program such as the WPA, the CCC camps, of which I'm very familiar because my father's friends worked in them and I heard many stories about them, they may have been great for that time. But what about all the other welfare rackets that are operational in America today? We can't afford them all.
FDR's biggest project that he had was in your mother's state, the state of Florida, my home state. The bridge that he built, you know, the railroad that he built all the way down to Key West. And you know,
how about the canal that runs down the length of Florida? That gigantic waterway that was built that runs right through South Florida. You know the one I'm talking about.
That's back when Americans knew how to build things and they did it right. The Chinese.
Well, again, the biggest story is, if you want to talk FDR and social welfare programs, I am certainly in favor of taking the unemployed worker and employing them in a useful manner. Are you aware of the fact that some fabulous art was created in the 1930s under FDR? And in San Francisco, for example, there's some Art Deco murals in some buildings that were done by some famous artists during the 1930s. They were out of work. The government hired them not to be laborers, but to be artists. So they decorated the interior of buildings with fabulous art. What's wrong with that? Are you aware that some of the tunnels in America that you see that have old, dirty tile were tiled during the Depression by out-of-work masons? They were given jobs by the government to come and tile the tunnels. Nothing wrong with that. In other words, they did useful things for the country. And so that's fine if you want to take somebody with a skill and put them to work if they're out of work. But you have to, at the same time, eliminate education and medication for the illegal alien. You must slam the school door and the emergency room door shut to any non-citizen. We can't afford it all. Moreover, we need to go through the entire welfare program. Any able-bodied person who was caught cheating on welfare should have their assets seized, going back to as far as they've been taking the money. I mean, there are many things that need to be done in this country. So don't assume that just because I am a social conservative and a fiscal conservative that I don't understand the value of government jobs. And I certainly would rather see the money go to workers rather than to the bums on Wall Street who, as far as I'm concerned, should be in prison and their assets seized. And I've said that for 2 months now. And don't assume I'm making it to, all of a sudden that I'm a populist. I was the first one to bring up the name Goldman Sachs on this show over the last year, if you remember. Nobody even knew who Goldman Sachs was when I started to talk about him. I saw the warning signs well over a year ago. I warned you about what was coming. Those of you who listen to the show know that. The fact of the matter is, though, if you look at Wall Street, you look at the meltdown, you look at Paulson, you look at who's been bailed out, not one of these thieves has been forced to give up so much as one property or one car as collateral for the bailout. Now, can you explain that to me? Why not one Democrat has said anything about the Wall Street thievery? Answer, because the Wall Street thieves paid off both sides of the aisle. They paid off both Democrat and Republican, which is why you haven't heard a peep out of the Obama administration about collateral from the Wall Street criminals.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Some kind of way out of here. Say the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there to drink my wine. Come and dig my earth. None will let.
So we are seeing the end line, it's not even the end line, of the 60s mentality here in the United States of America. Many people who you may not even be aware are in fact expressing the philosophy of the hippie 60s without even understanding what they're doing. The bring it all down man, the basic communist rhetoric. The establishment is no good even though they're the establishment. In other words, now that they are the establishment, they are fascists. Everything they said they opposed, they have become. They claim they wanted free speech, and what are they trying to do now? Shut down talk radio. They claim they want freedom of expression, and what do they do when someone says something about something they don't like? They try to shut you down, close you down, attack your advertisers. Or if you're a student, at Berkeley or at San Francisco, and you march in favor of Israel. What happens? The Islamo-fascists try to beat you up. And what do the police do? They look the other way. And so, therefore, our civilization is falling apart in many ways, like the Mayans did, for many different reasons. That's not the only reason. It is one of the reasons. There are many reasons. Why is the nation bankrupt? Couple of reasons. The war is the primary one. And I've been telling you this for 5 years. It's not like an after-the-fact revisionist history to make myself sound like I'm on the side of the people. For 5 years, 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year, I have been talking to you about the cost of wars. I told you that Napoleon bankrupted France with his megalomania. I told you that there are parallels with George Bush's megalomania. I compared, as near as 2 years ago, George Bush to King Ludwig II of Bavaria, if you remember it, those of you who listen to the show regularly. In other words, I tend to move into areas that you never hear about, but I do so because I'm widely read, highly educated, and extremely astute. The fact of the matter is, George Bush is closer to King Ludwig II than he is to Napoleon, for many different reasons. But just as King Ludwig II bankrupted Bavaria, George Bush bankrupted America through his war. That's one major reason the currency is kaput, or almost kaput. There are other reasons, of course, and you know what they are. I don't have to delineate them for you. The illegal aliens are an enormous social drain on this society. Enormous. Don't you understand that every time they use a hospital for free, you pay for it? Don't you idiots understand that every time you get a teacher, hire a teacher with English as a second language, you morons are paying for it, and your children are paying for it with inferior education? Don't you understand why California right now has about the lowest educational standards in the United States of America? When I moved here, it was the highest. One of the reasons I moved here was because it had one of the finest state university systems in the country, and I knew that I couldn't afford to send my children to a private college. I didn't have the money. So I said to myself, you know what? I went to Queens College in New York. I got my PhD from the University of California at Berkeley. We have some of the greatest universities in the nation, and they're almost free. So I said, you know what? I'll help my children. I'll pay for their tuition. I'll give them a little amount of money, but the rest they're going to have to do on their own. They can go as far as they want, depending upon their desires. And I was very proud of this state. Now you wake up, you have a debased educational system. You have a debased medical system. You can lay that directly at the foot of the influx of people who are not citizens, who are abusing our hospital systems, abusing our school systems as I sit here. Then you have a dunce for a governor who makes believe he doesn't know how to balance the books. But he's like all the other governors. They're frauds. You can balance the books. Put a state trooper in every hospital emergency room and say, I'm sorry, we'd like to take care of you, but we can't. If you're not a citizen of the state, I mean, a resident of the state, goodbye. That's all. I'm sorry, we can't afford it. We don't have the money for it. English is a second language? Why should that be the job of a public school? Let's review this together. Why should the state pay for English as a second language? Why? Why should we be paying for the cost of educating children in the language of the land? Why shouldn't they be studying it on their own? When my father came here, he was thrown into an immersion course called The Streets of New York. That was his immersion course. And either he learned English or he didn't eat. See, he really learned English really fast. And he started with a little push cart. And he didn't die a rich man, but he left the house and some money for my mother when he died. He worked very hard and he died very young, just as my grandfather did. But their immersion course was not English as a second language in school with a bunch of liberals crying over them. It was a rough and tumble world, and he knew how to adapt, and he learned the language as best he could. So he read the newspapers. He read whatever he had to read to learn the language. But now, English is not only English is a second language. If your child speaks English that is a little too good, they're suspect in the country we live in now, in the Tower of Babel. Again, this could be ended. The educational system could be fixed. The medical system could be fixed. All it takes is brains, vision, and spine. All of which are missing in the ruling class. 1-800-449-8255. Another story on MichaelSavage.com. In addition to the pictures of Arnold Schwarzenegger then and now, which I think you should look at, there's a horrible story. Soldier acquitted of murder in officers' fragging deaths. A soldier was acquitted of murder in the bombing deaths of two superiors in Iraq, triggering outbursts from the slain officer's family saying he slaughtered her husband and that's it? He set off hand grenades and killed two officers. But he got a shyster lawyer who convinced the jury that he was an oppressed minority. And the men he killed that he fragged are dead. He walks. Obama goes upscale in Hawaii for holiday. All of you leftist fools, you useless idiots who thought he was a man of the people. Oh, yeah, right. They're renting three very expensive homes on Oahu. Well, I guess that's what, you know, he's got a rest now. Raised $100 million in a month at the end of the campaign. He's got a rest now from the fundraising. Like all good Fabian socialists, they deserve nothing but the best. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Ex-Sharks co-owner charged with bilking investors. I never heard of him. I don't know who the Sharks are. I do. The San Jose Sharks hockey team, former co-owner, blah, blah, blah. Take a look at him. Real prize. Schools get rid of Fs. At public schools in Grand Rapids, Michigan, high school students will no longer receive Fs, but instead will earn the letter H when their work falls woefully short. Because you don't want to hurt their self-esteem. That might stay with them the rest of their life if they realize they're morons. So what you do is you make the moron feel he's not a moron, so that when he doesn't get a job, he sues. He goes to a lawyer and says, I'm not a moron. How come I didn't get the job? I never got no Fs. How come I can't get that job there? I'm as good as the guy who got them A's. So whatever the H means, I have no idea what H. Oh, H means held. Superintendent Bernard Taylor told ABC News that the H stands for held. And it's a system designed to give students a second chance on work that was not up to par. They don't want to punish children. They want to give them another opportunity to succeed. And so the students can choose to retake the course. They can do extra work online in between surfing for child porn or drugs. Or they can sue the school, whatever they like, to get the H removed. At one Boston area middle school, a policy known as zeros aren't permitted gives students who do not complete their homework on time because they were busy practicing how to put a condom on a cucumber, or how to blow a joint. Students who do not complete their homework on time, they give them an opportunity during school hours to finish their homework so they do not fail the assignment. Now, of course, they fall behind during the school hours, but you shouldn't tell that to the school principal because the school principal apparently got a lot of H's while he was coming up. School principal explained that the policy was implemented in hopes of preventing students from failing homework assignments and slipping through the cracks of the education system. Why shouldn't they slip through the cracks if they're stupid or lazy? What do you mean they shouldn't? That's how you determine who moves ahead? If one is too stupid or too lazy to keep up, he slips through the cracks and he doesn't move ahead. But no, that's why you have so many morons in college today. And by the way, so many morons teaching in college today. And by the way, so many morons as provosts in college today. And by the way, so many morons on Wall Street. I'll be right back. Savage. Flowers in your brains. They got flowers in their brains, the people who run this city, into the toilet. Closing down the power plants, talking about the airport's going to be underwater from global warming. You hear? Not about illegal aliens destroying the school system, the hospital system, and the homicide epidemic. No, that's not on his mind. He also is attacking power plants. That's his big problem. Because power plants don't vote. The reason he attacks the power plants is that they don't vote. That's all. So is any wonder we have the kind of leadership we have today? I don't know if there's any way back from this. I have no idea. I don't know if there's a way back from this. I don't know how we can ever get a class of politicians that are honorable again. I don't know. I don't know if it's possible. So what's the point of talking about it? I'm going to eat my heart out over it. What do I care? You want to go by the way of the Mayan civilization? Good luck to you. You want your children to be running around being servants of somebody in a couple of generations? What do I care? Let your children become servants. See if I care. Let your houses be occupied by enemies 100 years from now. It doesn't matter to me. You don't care about it. Look who you elect. Take a look. Take a look at who you elect and what you let the politicians get away with. Go ahead. So what do I care if your descendants wind up serfs? It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't. I'm not a revolutionary. I'm a talk show host. It's one man who vents on the radio for 15 straight years. I see stories. I make observations. I sit down in front of the microphone, and I express what I see and what I feel and what I believe. I intermix that with some family stories, and that becomes the Savage Pie. I serve the Savage Pie for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, and apparently the people love Savage Pie. They can't get enough of the Savage Pie, and I keep making a pie a day. And that's the story. If you like it, eat it. If you don't like it, go to another bakery. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to the callers in Green Bay, for example. Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Mr. Savage, I'd like to talk about a story in psychological nudity.
Which story?
You told this about 3 years ago, the last time. I heard it twice, but the last time I heard it was about 3 years ago. You were a young bohemian, and you made your way up to the upper level, and you met an aristocrat on a ship.
You
were traveling, you were a passenger.
Yes. I remember it to this day. I can even tell you the name of the ship. It's not in the book. And that was, it was not the Oriana. It was, God, I forgot. It was one of the Oriana class cruise ships. See, in those days, they weren't cruise ships. They were passenger liners. You know the difference, don't you?
I think I do.
A cruise ship is a bus with a propeller today. In other words, the same people you'd meet on a Greyhound bus, you meet on a cruise ship today. In those days, they were passenger liners, and they were used by different classes of people to traverse the oceans. So, for example, you had an awful lot of bureaucrats in the British Empire, in the overseas empires, for example, from Australia, New Zealand, going to the home country. Once a year, they got a free ticket on the P&O liners. And they had really distinct classes then, first class, second class, and I think third class. And I was poor. We were, you know, big deal. I enjoyed it anyway. And what was the name of that ship, though? I can't remember it. It was not the Oriana Lee. Something with an A. Arcadia! You win the prize. The Arcadia. To this day, I can remember the lighting in first class. I actually snuck into first class because I was bored. I wanted to see what it was like. And I just walked through some passageways, and boom. The minute I went from my class to first class, the whole world changed. The lighting was subdued. Everything was in a hum. It was like a British, you know, club. And somehow I bypassed the stewards or whatever, and I wound up sitting in the bar having a few drinks and some, I guess, minor aristocrat, but he turned out to be a pilot in the Royal Air Force. Perfectly great guy and his wife, really good-looking people. They knew that I had that I was an interloper because I told them quickly. They said, well, where are you? I said, well, I was below. I said, I came up. I was bored. What do you do? I said, well, I'm an ethnobotanist, and I'm going to the islands. Now, you got to understand, the English of that time were extremely dignified. That was before Tony Blair's day when the country degenerated. You could say that there's a pre-Diana and a post-Diana England. The pre-Diana England was a different world. The post-Diana England was a totally vulgar mess. She destroyed the royal family, number one. But England itself degenerated after Diana. It was not only because of her, but she represented a certain element that invaded the royal family. But at the same time, the country opened its doors up to the wrong elements from the wrong countries of the type that set off bombs recently in India, for example. And right now they're sitting in fear of the very people they let in through their liberalism, through their policies of appeasement, which they thought was not appeasement. It was called liberalism and tolerance and diversity. They didn't understand it was just appeasement. So it was a different nation at that time. Anyway, we got to talk, this minor aristocrat and I, because he was a Royal Navy pilot. Perhaps he had been exposed to men who did not have the benefits of wealth at birth, but who had a natural benefit of a dignity of the soul. And he was very interested in what I was doing in the islands and collecting plants. And we had a glorious time, and he didn't report me or anything. And we remained friends on the rest of the voyage. It's not a particularly dramatic story in that regard, but I thought it was an interesting time in my life. What part of that story appealed to you the most? You're gone already, that's all. 1-800-449-8255. It's not a great story, just a story from my past. If you live long enough and you travel a little bit, you have stories to tell. But that was before the age of video cameras. That was before the age when, for example, every ship has gambling. You can't even walk on a ship, on a cruise ship today and get away from noise. Muzak is like being in a bad elevator in Macy's. Every cruise ship, You know, Joe Yokel rents a tuxedo, and already he's posing as a rich man. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm an old chain of plumbing supply. You know, the guy turns a wrench. Nothing wrong with being a plumber. But no one's a plumber or an electrician on a cruise ship. They own a chain, a whole network, you know. I don't go near those places, you know. If you like a Greyhound bus with a propeller, you're in business. Like a trough. The meals are like eating in a trough. But the Arcadia, the Oriana, those are great ships. There was no music on the boat deck at midnight.
Any roads a master man walked down before you called him a man. How many seas a master wide.
We're having a 60s nostalgia show today in the Savage Nation to celebrate the decline and fall of the United States of America. A world without violence. Let him take a walk in Oakland at night without a cop. Let him take a walk in Richmond, California without a cop. These liberal fools. Joan Baez. Feh. So now OJ got it today. Whoa, what a sentence they gave him finally. Wow. We hear more from the media today, more about the reaction of the Goldman family than we do about Goldman Sachs sacking the Treasury. Destruction of a nation is what you're hearing as a result of the media. The media is not the message. The media is the madness. You can quote me on that. The media is the madness. Our manufacturing base has more or less degenerated. In fact, it seems the only thing we manufacture in this country is pornography, which in most movies today are pornographic. The sewer pipe that comes out of Hollywood, that's what we send out to the world. Well, here's some good news. French headscarf ban, not discrimination, says European court. This took 10 years. This is the only good news that I've seen all week. Europe's top courts have ruled in favor of a French school that expelled two Muslim girls for refusing to remove their headscarves for physical education classes. The ruling fuels the debate over secularism in France. The European Court of Human Rights has dismissed a complaint by two French Muslim girls that their school violated their freedom of religion and their right to an education. The girls were expelled after repeatedly refusing to remove their headscarves for phys ed classes. Teacher has said that wearing a headscarf was incompatible with physical education classes. So they were expelled in 1999, right? So, based in Strasbourg, the European Court of Human Rights rules on Thursday, December 4th, that the school's move to expel the girls was not out of line, emphasizing that the girls have been able to continue their education via correspondence classes. Court says it was clear that the applicants' religious convictions were fully taken into account in relation to the requirements of protecting the rights and freedoms of others and public order. The court also observed that the purpose of the restriction on the applicant's right to manifest their religious convictions was to adhere to the requirements of secularism, a hot topic of debate in France. You see, secularism is taken very seriously in the country's state schools, and in 2004, a law was passed that bans pupils from wearing conspicuous signs of their religion at school. That includes crosses, by the way, which is really sickening when you consider that France is predominantly a Catholic nation. In order to accommodate the Muslim minority, who they said you can't wear a headscarf, they tell the kids you can't wear a cross either. That's utter nonsense. That's utter rubbish. Anyway, there it is. France is home to Europe's largest Muslim minority. So for a moment, France will be France, but not for very much longer, I can assure you, as the liberal psychos continue to launch their picks against the people of the state of France, nation of France. New York City, Lee on WOR. Topic, please go ahead.
Yes, earlier topic about immigration. My grandmother was an immigrant from Belgium. She came here in 1915, prior to World War One. Bless her. And my culture growing up, they always spoke French, but they wanted to learn English. They wanted to be American.
Of course. Now, today, they don't even want to speak English.
Exactly. And, you know, the funny thing is, Michael, I am a liberal.
I've decided I won't do business with anybody who can't speak English. I'm sick of it. You know, for a long while, I spoke Spanish a little bit, you know, and I reached out to. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. I feel if they won't learn English, they shouldn't even work in the country. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the mangled English, the mangled Spanish. You know what I say? Learn the language if you want to work for me, for God's sakes. I'm tired of this. Thanks for the call. Just learn the language. I don't want to press one for English. You know? How about pressing none for non-English? That's what I like to see. Press zero and leave the country. San Francisco, Jerry on KNEW. What's on your mind?
Yes, Dr. Savage. I'm a Mexican born. I came into the country in 86 legally. Took my father a long time to save enough money to be able to get to pop the papers correctly. And my father always told us, learn English. You want to do something for yourself? Learn some English.
Your father did you a favor. Your father did you a favor.
He did. And
you know,
now,
Spanish is a beautiful language. I enjoyed the literature of Spain, and I read a lot of it. And I loved studying Spanish and French when I was in school. But I don't live in Mexico, and I don't live in France. I live in the United States of America. And I do not want to speak Spanish in the workplace. And more particularly, I don't believe, not only I don't believe, I think it's absurd to offer ballots in six languages, as they do in many cities in this country, which was pioneered by the sickos in San Francisco. If somebody doesn't have the desire to learn the language, how can they know anything about who they're voting for other than being let us say, an automatic vote for the Democrat Party? I mean, why would a person who can't speak English go to vote at all, other than somebody within their ethnic community said to them, you have to vote for this candidate because there's more benefits for us? You know, you want to vote, learn English, because it's the only language we're going to put the ballot out in. But then I'm not a politician, Jerry.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not a politician. I'm a talk show host, so that's my opinion. 1-800-449-8255. New Hampshire, Dennis, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Savage, for taking my call. First thing, I enjoy your book, Psychological Nudity, immensely. The first thing I think that we should really do is, thanks that we have a president-elect now, I think one very, very, very poignant chapter that you have is chapter 34 called Working the System. I think.
Oh, my God, is that important? You're right, working the system. Do they know how to work the system?
Oh, yeah, we're going that way. But back to when you were talking about taking a trip on an ocean liner. 53 years ago, I took my first trip on an ocean liner to France with my parents, and there is a class that's even below third class, so, and I know what it is. It's called cabin class.
Wait, let's go through it. There was first class?
First class, second class, third class, and cabin class.
I think when I was a youngster and traveling on ships, they used to call it, my French is terrible right now, classe de pomme, the potato class, is that what you're referring to?
Well, all I know is that all the berths were below waterline.
Yes, yeah. Well, I traveled to Europe on the MV Waterman, and it was at that time it was an ex-troop carrier. Then it became a student ship, and we were four to a room, and it was below water. There was no porthole. I remember that.
Yeah. Well, I did the same thing that you did. Being 10 years old, I wandered through and found my way to the swimming pools and the fine buffets and the fine dining and the rest of it. But there's just one quick little story that I've remembered for 53 years, which I think you're – listeners might enjoy, and that is, the trip was absolutely horrendous. The weather was terrible.
The North Atlantic? I crossed the North Atlantic, and that ship was bolting. You know, you look down that deck, the bow was in the water, the stern was out of the water, or the stern was in the water and the bow was out of the water. The deck chairs were flying. The dining room was all over. The plates were everywhere. People were throwing up. Oh, those were rough crossings, absolutely.
Well, as you said, the plates were flying. I will never forget this. Two tables away from us, whenever we went to the dining parlor, there was a French sailor that would sit there. And every time the waiter would come up, he would sit down for every meal, and the waiter would come up and pour him a glass of water. And he would take this glass of water. We had linen tablecloths. We did at least have that. And he would dump it all over the table. And I would look at this at 10 years old and say, you know, what's the matter with this guy? This guy's a freak. And every single meal, he did this for 7 days.
What was that all about?
It was a very simple thing, that he wet the tablecloth down so that when he brought his plate and set it down, it would not slide around on the linen tablecloth.
I love it. A nautical tip on the Savage Nation.
There you go.
I didn't know that was, and that's a really great story. I love it. That is archaic and wonderful. I never heard that trick before.
Absolutely, I thought.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, that's similar to to the waiter, the French waiter who spilled soup on me, but he didn't do it by accident, nor did he do it to keep the plates from flying. I'll never forget, as long as I live, I was coming back from Europe with my friends, and I was, I don't know what I did, but I was the only one to travel with a sport jacket at that time. Everyone else was in, you know, in informal, but I, for some reason, I wanted it. So coming back, I finally took it out of the suitcase, and I put on the suit. I never remember this day. It was a Brooks Brothers, actually, green suit. I sit down to dinner, and it was in the lowest class of the ship with all the other youngsters, and this nasty French waiter came over, and he eyed me in the suit, and he didn't like me for 1 minute. He probably thought I was putting on airs, daring to put on a suit and tie at dinner. Well, he brought over some really bad soup, I mean heavy, and he was behind me, and he went, oops, and he spilled it right down the jacket, ruining the jacket. And, of course, I never wore it again. I complained to the crew, the shipping line, and they sent it to cleaning and all of that. But he did it on purpose. I distinctly remember. I mean, they were pretty nasty people then as there are now, and they're pretty nice people then as there are now. But I never heard the story about the wet tablecloth to keep dishes from flying.
Sure, we're chasing our meals all over the table, and he's just sitting there eating like there's nothing going on.
How big a ship were you on? What tonnage? Do you remember?
Yes, I do. I don't remember the tonnage, but I remember the ship. It was a Cunard line. It was called the Liberté.
Oh, my God. That was a great liner. But, you know, in those days, they were passenger liners as opposed to cruise ships, weren't they?
Exactly.
In other words, they made the crossing across the Atlantic, and people used it as an actually, they didn't do it as an alternative. There was very little air traffic across the ocean at that time. And one of the reasons they encountered heavy weather was there was no real use of weather satellites. There were no weather satellites at that time. Remember, look at the age we're living in. Yes, there was radar, of course, but there were no weather satellites operational at that time.
None at all.
None. The first weather satellites were not launched. Well, certainly what, post-1960s, after Sputnik for sure. What year were the first weather satellites launched in? I don't even remember.
I don't either.
Well, okay, so to get weather prior to the launching of satellites, they had to use merchant seamen and air travelers who would report on the weather in various parts of the globe, and they reported the weather that way, but there was no high-flying weather satellite, and that's why ships could often wander into storms in those days. And I suppose the ships today avoid storms because they have the advantages of this technology.
I'm with you on that. I'm sure they
do. Well, thanks for the call. That's a very nostalgic call. I certainly do remember those days and the ships of that time. And the Arcadia, I don't know where the Arcadia is today. Perhaps it's been broken up. Is there a listener listening to the show who is a sea buff who can tell me where the old P&O liner, the Arcadia, wound up? Oh, don't tell me that's in Kuwait or something, being used as an oil tanker or whatever. What would you like to talk about? It's open mic to Mike on the Savage Nation today. The website has some great stories, but frankly, I'm storied out. I'm storied out. Right? What can I tell you? The only story I'm waiting on, which is supposed to have come down, but it won't come down, is whether the full Supreme Court agrees to hear the citizenship case about Hussein Obama, whether Barry Obama's citizenship will be taken on by the full Supreme Court. As you know, it's a huge story in that the mainstream media has suppressed it. They won't talk about it any more than the local media will talk about the death in the elevator story. There are certain stories that the newspaper jerks won't touch, and that's why they're going out of business. And that's why you don't read the papers anymore. But, you know, it's a big 80 million people went on the internet over the few months leading up to the election and were fascinated with this whole story of, was he born in Indonesia? Was he born in Kenya? Is he qualified to be the president? Now, I haven't invested a lot of time in this story because I'm waiting to see if the Supreme Court will hear it. If they hear it, I'll talk about it. If they won't hear it, I'm not really going to talk about it. It's over. That's all there is to it. Salt Lake City. Kevin, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, what an honor to speak with you. Hey, I just wanted to let you know that I know some days it feels like you're making savage pies, you know, but I'm a 27-year-old guy, and you really woke me up to conservatism, and I feel like you have done that to an entire generation. And I just,
well, remember, I'm talking about conservatism, not republicanism. There's a huge difference, as you know, right?
I understand that, and I didn't understand.
You learned from me that a Republican is not necessarily a conservative. We all agree on that.
And I just wanted to thank you for that, sir.
Well, let me thank you for the nice call by sending you a Christmas present, and you know what it is. It's psychological nudity. which will be winging its way out to you on Monday. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com is the website. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is none other but the Savage Nation. It's Rock and Roll Friday. Happiness consists in getting your hair cut every 2 weeks and watching your neighbor fall off the roof, said the Chinese-American writer Lin Yutang, which is 100% true. And when people fall off the roof, that is, fall out of the media, for example, and you get a haircut, it's not a bad day. As long as you're still on the roof getting your hair cut, things are good. So tomorrow is another day. Wow, that's terrible, the media landscape. 30 newspapers for sale and buyers are scarce. Who would have thought that my website would have a larger circulation than the local newspaper in a major city? It's hard to believe. Who would have thought that a lone PhD with no connections whatsoever would have a larger audience than 10 million people a week at least listen to this show? Oh, yeah, they're all bumpkins. They're not as sophisticated as you leftists. They're not as sophisticated. They're illiterate. All the listeners, they never read a book. They drag their knuckles. Only you. You're very smart, all of you. All of you Fabian socialists. You're smarter than everybody. That's why most of you are out of work. You know, if it wasn't for a government job or some kind of third-rate haircut that you get through George Soros, you wouldn't have a job at all. Try the free market one of these days. See how far you get. See how far you get in the free market, all you leftists. But who cares what people are doing? I don't care. Mean cop tickets man racing wife to the hospital to give birth. Did you hear that story in Massachusetts? What kind of cop is this? In my day, the cop cleared the road and raced to him. Man in Massachusetts appealing a $100 ticket he got for driving to a hospital in the breakdown lane of a gridlocked Boston highway while his wife was in labor. So instead of the cop saying, "Follow me, buddy," the cop said, "You know what? I don't really believe your wife is pregnant." He made the woman lift up her dress to show that she was pregnant. And he made the husband sit there while he wrote another driver a ticket. This cop should be fired, as far as I'm concerned. I'd like to find out two things. A, the sexual orientation of the cop. B, the race of the cop and the race of the passengers. It could run either way, by the way. So don't assume I'm assuming one thing when I'm not. Maybe you're assuming one thing when it isn't. 1-800-449-8255, MichaelSavage.com, Norfolk, Virginia. Ryan, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please. Brian, are you there? Go ahead, please. Not there. Love it. Love it. Are you there or not there? I hate that. I haven't had that in years. I haven't had that in years with the hang-ups and not there. All right. Santa, I don't want any complaining callers. They're going to sound like me. I need something more cheerful than what I sound like. You got anybody positive out there? There's nobody who's positive listens to talk radio. Everyone is horrible. It's terrible. America's finished. It's awful. It's over. It stinks. It's no good. It couldn't be worse. It was never worse. It's going to get worse than it is. Even though it's terrible, it's going to get even worse. Although I'm not depressed, I feel depressed. I should be depressed. I took Prozac, it didn't help, then I listened to you and I thought I felt better, then you made me feel worse. I listened to you anyway because it's like sucking air into a tooth with a toothache because at least you feel something. Even though you tell me everything's horrible and it's going to get worse, I listen because I want to suck air into a bad tooth because it gives me a real bad headache. It's like drinking a milkshake on a hot summer day and getting a shock through my head where I could faint from the cold and the nerve that goes to the... And why do I do it? Because at least I feel something, because most of my life, I'm like a dead person. That's why I listen. That's what the story is in talk radio. Try this 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. See how long you last. Yeah, try it. Everyone could do it. Oh, give me the microphone. I'll show you. Give me that microphone. I'll show you what I can do. Go ahead. They get up there right away. They need to order a box of Depends. It's a tough business, I got to tell you. This is the verbal martial art of the media. This is the verbal martial art. There's no teleprompter. All on the natch. If you got a good education, you're well-read, you're interested, you have a passion for America, you're in business. If you don't have any of the above, yeah, okay, try it. I hear Geraldo may try a talk show next. Oh, a real big lineup for him. Oh, yeah, they made a big line around the corner for Geraldo. Yeah. Nancy Grace with a mustache. A big line around the corner for Nancy Grace with a mustache. What's he going to talk about that you haven't heard a million times? Imagine who, I can't believe the people were trying talk radio. I guarantee you the funeral already could be held. Yeah, the more the merrier. The more they try this field, the better it is for me. It's like anything else. It's like running horses on a track that are like glue horses against thoroughbreds. Go ahead, run them. You'll see what a real thoroughbred is.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's the official song of San Francisco's leadership, Casey Jones, summarizes the leadership in this city. All right, whoever can tell, it's enough already. That's terrific. I'm going to read you a quote. Where there are too many policemen, there is no liberty. Where there are too many soldiers, there is no peace. Where there are too many lawyers, there is no justice. Who wrote that? Anybody who knows who wrote that wins a free copy of my great book, Psychological Nudity. And speaking of literature, I want to ask you a question. When you were in high school or college, do you remember the poet Robert Frost? Of course you do. Great American original. Robert Frost poems were typically taught in high school or in college for ages. And rightly so, because he was a true American poet. One of his poems was called Mending Wall, and one of the great lines in it is, good fences make good neighbors. Now, I think you know where I'm going with this monologue. How come Robert Frost is now considered out of favor in America? Could it be because he wrote good fences make good neighbors? And you might come to understand that good fences do make good neighbors? And that when he wrote something there is that doesn't love a wall, that sends the frozen groundswell under it and spills the upper boulders in the sun and makes gaps even two can pass abreast. The work of hunters is another thing. When he wrote good fences make good neighbors, of course he was talking about the stone walls of New England. Of course, you might interpret that to mean the wall between America and Mexico to keep out the illegal alien, which is, of course, more necessary today than it was yesterday. Our schools are bankrupt. Our hospitals are bankrupt. Our language is bankrupt. Our borders, language, and culture are bankrupt. And we have a governor in the state of California who says, what, me worry? Just raise taxes. I don't know how to solve the problem. What, me close access to the hospitals to non-citizens? I can't do that because I'm liable to lose the illegal alien vote. When you come to understand that many of the politicians in the Democrat Party in particular were elected specifically by illegal aliens, you come to understand why you've lost your country. The illegal alien, in essence, has the ear of the politician while you have nothing. The true American wanted a conservative candidate. We did not get one. We got a fraud. We got John McShane. That's why he lost. It's because the conservative base didn't like him. Many conservatives voted for Obama to send the message to the Republican Party that we're through with you. The marriage is over. We're divorced. Never again. Make no mistake about it. This was not a mandate for communism. It was not a mandate even for Fabian socialism. It was a message to the Republican Party from the millions of people who said no to John McCain that we will not take a hack like him, a man who wanted to melt the country down like Chernobyl. That's what it was all about. When I say, again, Robert Frost, is he still taught in schools? I doubt it, because you're liable to put two and two together if you read Mending Wall, which has a line in it, good fences make good neighbors. Sure, good fences make good neighbors, but not to the international socialist, not to the NAFTAites, not to the WTOites who have destroyed our industry, our industrial base. Sure, good fences make good neighbors if you care about your nation or your state. But if you don't care about your nation or your state, and you have a vision, some absurd utopian vision about one world holding hands, of course you don't want any borders. Of course you don't want any differentials in language or culture or religion. You have a Fabian socialist vision for a future where we'll all be speaking Esperanto and there'll be one sex and there'll be no longer any viviparous reproduction. It will all be done clean and neat in a factory as in Brave New World. Of course that's how you view the world if you're sick in the head. Now you understand where I'm coming from? I'm classically educated. I've read the greats. I've written over 25 books. I know what's going on in this country. And that's why I say today when you read about the media being melted, the media melting down, newspapers are for sale, nobody wants to buy them. Newscasters being fired one after the other, and they say, oh, it's because of the poor advertising climate. Well, that's part of it, for sure, but that's not the main reason the newspapers and the TV shows, TV news is dying. It's because they're putting out the garbage, and you don't want it anymore. You're sick of it. You hear today, for example, about the OJ story. Well, it's a story that he finally got nailed, but the media went in overdrive. There was more of a reaction to the Goldman family than there was to a story about Goldman Sachs. We should be hearing about Goldman Sachs. We should be hearing about how they slipped Treasury secretaries in ever since Robert Rubin. Robert Rubin now, the man who just destroyed Citibank, is now going to come to work for Obama to further destroy America's economy. You hear this? And not a word about it in the media. Again, about the Goldman family and O.J. Simpson, not about Goldman Sachs. That's why I talked at the beginning of the show about the Mayan civilization and the parallels between the disappearance of the Mayans, a once great civilization, and the slow death of the United States of America. It's a terrifying story. We don't know why the Mayans disappeared. There are various theories, advanced systems of literature, agriculture, astronomy. And yet somehow hundreds of years before the arrival of the Spanish, for those of you who are ignoramuses and immediately wanted to say, aha, the Spanish European explorer killed the Mayans. No, hundreds of years before the Spanish arrived, the Mayan civilization fell apart. Nothing to do with Europeans. Nothing to do with it whatsoever. And so you have to ask yourself, well, why did the Mayans disappear? And what does it have to do with the price of gasoline? I'll let you figure it out. 1-800-449-8255, Houston, Texas. Jason, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael Savage, it's a pleasure to talk with you, but I am in good spirit. I'm in great spirits. The money I was saving for a down payment on my house, instead of it being 10%, now it's 40%.
You mean, wait, that's what they want now for a down payment?
No. I mean, in other words, the $20,000 before, to buy a house that's $100,000.
Oh. So you were saving up, 20%, 10%, 20, okay, $200,000 house. I get it.
And I have no fear. I don't fear an Obama presidency because, you know, America's been dancing with socialism for about 50 years. And if he is the madman that I think he might be, it's an opportunity for people like me and you.
Jason, what you don't understand is that the media was never as tilted to the far left as it is today. You're talking about dancing with socialism going back into the 1920s, which is certainly true. But in those days, the newspapers were rock-ribbed, nationalistic, and supportive of the American way. Today, they are the exact opposite. They are stealth Fabian socialists, every last one of them.
If there's a forest fire and it all burns down, doesn't a beautiful forest spring up afterwards? If Obama sits forth and takes a scorched earth policy to America, he's not going to, it'll not last, and people like me and you will rise up, and we'll be able to rebuild this country the way it
was. Well, that's assuming that, that's assuming an awful lot. That's assuming that they don't lock people out of the system or lock people up altogether so they can never, ever rebel against the system. Remember, the ex-Soviet Union took people who opposed the system and put them in work camps. They declared anybody who didn't see the Soviet system as excellent as mentally ill, and the psychiatrists forced drugs on them. We're not too far away from that today when they're forcing Ritalin down the throat of children who act like children. If a boy acts like Tom Sawyer, they put him on drugs. They say he has an illness. So don't tell me that. I mean, I'm not angry at you, but don't tell me that it's necessarily all going to be good no matter what happens. We are living in much different times. We have a corrupted medical establishment where they drug children, they drug people for nothing. We have a corrupted media who is so biased they don't even understand what they're saying half the time about the demise of America and helping the country to fall down the skids. So it's not like the 1930s, as I said before, where the press was totally nationalistic and supportive of the American way. But thank you for feeling good. I'm glad you feel good. I don't feel bad. Don't get me wrong. It's just when I look at the system, I feel as an oncologist who opened up the patient and said, I'm sorry, I have to sew it up. There's nothing I can do. You know, let the disease run its course because there's no medicine that's going to cure this this illness. It's going to have to be a spontaneous remission in the case of America's cancer. The cancer of liberalism right now has metastasized to such an extent that only a spontaneous remission can save the patient. In a few moments, we're going to have an interview I did earlier with Stephen Emerson on the outcome of a trial against Islamists, which is actually a very good sign. Three Islamic Front organizations were found guilty, guilty as charged. Believe it or not, it happened in America. Listen when it comes up. You're going to love the interview. I'll be right back. As we watch the horrors of terrorist attacks around the world and how our government reacts to this worldwide threat by doing nothing, it makes many of us wonder just how is our country going to survive, especially when our own media refuses to name the threat against us, instead relying on terms such as gunmen, assailants. Joining us today is Stephen Emerson with the Investigative Project on Terrorism to tell us about one victory we had in courts a while ago over the Holy Land Foundation, which we were the first to report on. Stephen Emerson, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
Well, remind our listeners what happened.
Well, this was a long time process. The first trial ended up in a hung jury. The second was a slam dunk for the government. It shows incontrovertibly that the Holy Land Foundation was a conduit for Hamas, and they were funding terrorist groups. It also shows incontrovertibly that CARE was a front for Hamas. As you know, it was an unindicted co-conspirator, but the records and evidence show that it was formed out of a Philadelphia Hamas meeting secretly held in 93, and their fingerprints are all over it.
How is CARE involved in this?
CARE was a successor organization created, its roots go back to 93, by the same defendants. If you look at the people who incorporated CARE, they're the same people who were involved with the Islamic Association for Palestine and the Holy Land Foundation. And so you see this interlocking directorate. Plus, in the evidence introduced in trial, for example, the transcript of the secretly wiretapped meetings in 93 of the Hamas officials, they all talk about creating a public relations firm to present to the American public to put a new face on Hamas, and not to call it Hamas, but to call it something else. A year later, CARE was created, and you have the same people involved in the conspiracy.
What does this guilty verdict mean?
Well, I mean, there are several levels of the significance. One is, of course, they can be sentenced up to, you know, 25 years. Number two, it's possible that one of them could flip, meaning the government could pressure them to testify in another trial in exchange for leniency, and that would be interesting because CARE wouldn't do well in a new trial. Three, this has implications, of course, for other radical fronts in the United States who, for the past 3 years, have been getting off very lightly, either with hung juries or with acquittals. So this sort of reverses the record of government achievements in a positive way.
What is another chance of a trial here?
Not a chance of Holy Land, but there might be other groups like CARE implicated in wrongdoing. And if a prosecutor wanted to prosecute CARE for various violations of the law, It's always helpful to have somebody on the inside testify, as we saw in this trial, where there was a former Holy Land Foundation official who agreed to testify against Holy Land in exchange for leniency in another case he was involved with. Now, I wrote a piece on our blog, on our website, that came out yesterday, basically lambasted the media and the government for refusing to call the perpetrators Islamic terrorists. They just called them militants or gunmen. You have all these Islamic apologists, these radical Islamic apologists like CARE, the Muslim Public Affairs Council, the Islamic Society of North America, that say, oh, you can't use the term Islamic terrorist, or you're libeling all Muslims. They do this as a way of protecting radical Muslims.
Why does the media not just name terrorists for who they are?
The fact is, even President Bush, who once used or twice used the term Islamofascism, now only calls Islamic militants, he calls them militants or extremists. A State Department / Homeland Security memo released last year said they was no longer allowed to talk about Islamic militants or Islamic terrorists. You had to talk about extremists only. The media itself does the same thing, from the New York Times to CNN. And I wouldn't say that it's direct collusion, but there's a constellation of interests here. They're afraid of incurring the wrath of Islamic groups. Some of them are politically correct. They think that stigmatizing Muslims occurs when you call them terrorists, Islamic terrorists. But that's like saying you're stigmatizing all whites when you call white racists white racists. Of course, does this mean we should censor the term Islamic Jihad, a term that the terrorists invented? I mean, it's sort of, you can go into ludicrous ways in which this PC censorship, self-censorship, has gotten us in a position where we're not allowed to name the enemy. And it's because of groups like CARE and MPAC and others who, you know, I have to give them, recognize their success in getting the government to buy into their propaganda, which essentially protects the Islamic terrorists and the Islamic community from any onus or responsibility.
What kind of reaction to this verdict have you seen?
Oh, most of the groups that have come out said that it's a sham verdict, that it was biased, that it was profile. I mean, here are the same groups that say they want to uphold the law. They're against terrorism, all of them, CARE especially. And then suddenly it comes out and says, no, no, this was an unfair verdict. No, this was a very fair verdict. And when they had the acquittal last year, they loved, not the acquittal, the hung jury, they loved that. But since it didn't come out in their favor, look, the only thing that these guys want is to be legitimized as mainstream Muslims, when in fact they're fronts and stooges of radical Islamic terrorist groups and militant groups, period. CARE is nothing but a front group for Hamas, as the FBI stated in the testimony in the Holy Land Foundation trial.
Stephen Emerson, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
It's been good talking to you.
Savage.
Well, the long time.
This judge is known for being tough.
Consecutively or concurrently.
Mandatory prison time.
Well into his 70s.
15 years, 15 years, six.
And I've never gotten any trouble.
O.J. Simpson is about to find out.
The mastermind behind this whole thing.
It says miles about what race.
All right, now you know why the media is melting down. More about O.J. than about Goldman Sachs. More about Ron Goldman than Goldman Sachs. And that's it. That's where it's at. That's the whole story. There's other music out there. There are other sound bites out there. I guess I'm a little wacky at the end of a Friday. It's been a long week, horrible week, terrible news. The elevator mystery murder that nobody wants to cover really got me down. And the fact that we have a Treasury Secretary who is conducting the greatest, in my opinion, the greatest theft in the history of the world and getting away with it, and that the CEOs of these companies who busted out the companies have not given up any of their property as assets for bailouts. It is very depressing when the ruling class is this corrupt and this close together. We're guys who went to school together, help each other, and we the people have no representation to help us. It's very depressing, frankly. Then you have George Bush giving a speech today that's astonishing. And he says that he's sorry for the state of the economy. You hear this? I never saw anything like this. Listen to clip five.
We're focusing on the root causes of the economic downturn in order to return our economy to health. The most urgent issue facing the economy is the problem in the credit markets.
Wrong.
Businesses and consumers Wrong. Need access to
no,
credit.
No, I'm sorry, Mr. Bush, with all due respect, you are the president. But no, the most urgent problem is not the credit markets. The most urgent problem are the criminals who busted America's economy because they took care of their own friends and feathered their own nests. That's the most urgent problem. And we the people have one question. If you're bailing out Lehman Brothers, if you're bailing out all of these different companies, one way or the other, why have you not demanded collateral from any of the CFOs, CEOs, or COOs of these companies who have not given up one house, one car, one plane, one Mayan artwork as collateral while we, the taxpayers, bail them out? We have questions, and Mr. Bush, I'm afraid you don't have the answers for us. It's very depressing to listen to this nonsense. Listen, for example, to clip four.
I'm concerned about our workers who've lost jobs during this downturn. And as we work to address the problems of this economy, we've extended unemployment insurance benefits.
All right. You'll go. To those who have concerned. Lost their jobs. All right, blah, blah, blah. And Obama's going to Hawaii to a multimillionaire vacation. Of course, the media is not covering much about that because it doesn't fit the image of the hardworking man, a man of the people. Now, he's entitled to a vacation. A man who could raise $100 million over a month, 1 month period is entitled to any vacation he wants, particularly since he hoodwinked so many millions of fools into thinking that he was a man of the sheeple. So I say have a wonderful vacation, then come back. Obama goes upscale in Hawaii for holiday. Plans a beachside vacation at one of Oahu's most exclusive properties. Three houses for Mr. Obama and his friends. We don't know who the friends are, nor do I care who his friends are. Arrangements being finalized for the Obamas and the families of two or three friends. I hope that it's not Bill Ayers. To stay at a Kailua beachfront location with three modern multi-million-dollar homes. Big deal, multi-million-dollar home. Any home in Hawaii on the beach is a $1 million home. Big deal. He's entitled to a vacation. It's just that it just shows you the whole thing's a show. It's not Baby Rebozo. Remember Nixon had like Baby Rebozo used to be on the back of a yacht? And you knew something was bad with that. You heard just the name Baby Rebozo. You knew it was like a sporting goods store being busted out the minute they were on the back of a yacht together. So I hope that it's not Bill Ayers there going to Hawaii with him. The property also has a sweeping view of the Ko'olau Range. Oh, wow. Of course it has a view of the Ko'olau Range. Look at the writing of an article like this by a moron who writes for the Associated Press. The property is located across the island from metropolitan Honolulu in a residential section of trendy Kailua. There is no trendy Kailua. Kailua was never trendy. Where did they come up with this? These are the same fools who all wrote the word gravitas. Remember when that was up for a while? One moron in the media said gravitas. That's all you heard for 3 months. He has gravitas. She has gravitas. He has gravitas. Gravitas, 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 gravitas. Then the next thing was sharp elbows, Rahm Emanuel. One moron came up with Rahm Emanuel has sharp elbows. Sharp elbows. Rahm Emanuel, known for his sharp elbows. Sharp elbows are going to be in abundance in the White House. Rahm Emanuel, sharp elbows, sharp elbows. These are the morons who write trendy Kailua. There is no trendiness in Kailua. The property also has a sweeping view of the Ko'olau Range. Ooh, any house in Oahu has a sweeping view of the Ko'olau Range. Virtually. A lush forested ridge, she writes, that forms the back. She must have read Craigslist for this one. A lush forested ridge that forms the backbone of East Oahu. I've hiked the Ko'olau Range. There are wild pigs up there. Oh, Governor Linda Lingle indicated this week that Valerie Jarrett, a close Obama friend and advisor, who is she? would accompany Obama to the islands. Lingle said she intended to meet with Jarrett. Who is Jarrett? I never heard of it. Where'd this one come from? Oh, well. Obama was most recently in Hawaii in October to visit his ailing grandmother, Madeline Dunham, who raised him much for his youth. Dunham died November 2nd, the age of 86, 2 days before Obama won the presidency. Yeah, let's let that one go. He went over there like right near the end and visited her, and then she died. All right, okay, got it. Yeah, it had nothing to do with the birth certificate. We know that. It had nothing whatever to do with the birth certificate story. Sad state of journalism in America today. Just unbelievable. Or this idiot, Dan Rather, disgraced journalist. No one listens to him anymore. He has an opinion, though, that Obama should be inaugurated December 1st. Yeah, because he said so. Dan Rather said so, so let's change the rules now. Just because he said so. Like that other schmuck, Softball, saying he's going to run for the Senate. The guy is out of words, Softball. He's always been a hack. He's always been a hack for the Democrat Party. Now he says he's running for the Senate in order to keep his name in the news. Oh, God in heaven, there's no end to this, is there? How former layman COO is dealing with the downturn. Why should I pay $250,000 for a private plane when I can pay $20,000 to fly commercial first class? Is how the folks from Greenwich, the gangster class from Greenwich, are relating to the downturn. Vanity Fair's late issue. It's a report on the death of a culture in which, as one former Lehman Brothers employee explained, those who didn't spend extravagantly on staples like $1,950 bottles of 2003 Screaming Eagle Cabernet Sauvignon or $26 per ounce Wagyu beef at Nobu and Masa's $600 pre-feed dinner would be ridiculed at work. You know they're a bunch of schmucks. These are mindless schmucks who went to Yale and Harvard, and they're worthless human beings. Worthless human beings. Worthless human beings. I can guarantee you that if I gave this Putz from Lehman Brothers a blind wine tasting, and I put a Screaming Eagle Cabernet in one glass, and Gallo Rotgut in another, he wouldn't know the difference. I can guarantee you he wouldn't know the difference. I can give him five wines, he wouldn't know the difference. Oh, you're eating $26 per ounce Wagyu beef at Nobu? Okay, let me give you five different pieces of beef here and tell me if you can tell a difference. I don't think these people have any taste buds, as a matter of fact. Other people in Greenwich are cutting back by letting the pastures grow, canceling the leaf blowers. What does that mean, canceling the leaf blowers? They're going back to Mayaville? Doing the storm windows themselves? What do you mean by doing the storm windows themselves? Putting them in, washing them? Taking them out? Customers are hauling sacks of jewelry over to Betteridge Jewelers to make the mortgage payments while others send their housekeepers and daughters on similar runs to consign couture. Big deal. I would like to know why they haven't been forced to give up some of their properties as collateral for the bailout. That's all I want to know. I don't care about the Screaming Eagle, which sucks, by the way. You know, most of these are so overblown, it's not even funny. I know good wine. I've drunk expensive wine. Some of it is excellent. Most of it's not excellent. Most of it's hype, pure hype, unadulterated hype. I once had a wine expert on the Savage Nation 10 years ago from a local Italian restaurant. I won't mention it because I like the owner of it. And I like Tommy, and I won't mention him by name either. But I had Tommy on the show, and he was a wine expert. I could say it because it's not true in the case of the North Beach restaurant. His wines really do make a difference if you know what you're ordering. So Tommy comes on the show, and I say, Tommy, what is the difference between an $80 bottle of wine and a $40 bottle of wine? Bingo, he says $40. I think he and Lorenzo are falling out soon. It was a funny line. I hope he didn't mean it. But 1-800-449-8255. Big deal. A Wall Street wife is asking her Westchester neighbor how exactly one obtains a Food Emporium discount card. A reminder that the usually booked solid St. Regis Hotel in Aspen currently has Christmas week available at $13,920 for two. Oh, wow. How exciting to be around the other phonies in Aspen. What do you want to be there for? Then they talk about Lehman Brothers CEO Joe Gregory. And he didn't yet give up anything either. How come the government hasn't forced them to give up anything? And yet they're bailing the company out. Answer. Answer, because they made donations to Democrats and Republicans. You hear this? That's why. There's no other reason why. Don't you understand that? Don't you get how it works? You buy politicians the way some people buy women of the night. That's all. Israel evicts West Bank settlers in Hebron, sparking revenge attacks. Israel's committing suicide. The nation that lost its way. I don't think it should exist anymore if it acts like this. Israeli riot police evacuated a settler outpost in the West Bank city of Hebron on Thursday, triggering revenge attacks by Jewish extremists? You mean Jewish patriots, don't you? On Palestinians and fanning fears of growing civil unrest? What kind of rubbish is... Oh, the Wall Street Journal, sorry. A news corporation rag. Israel has promised to evacuate 24 illegal settlement outposts to bolster the U.S.-led peace negotiations with the Palestinians. You hear this? Donning helmets and armed with wooden batons, about 100 police surprised about 250 Jewish occupants who were swiftly dragged out of the building Thursday before they could organize to repel the Israeli officers. Spit on them. Spit on the Israeli officers. You just spit in their face. These people were used. The Israeli settlers were used by the government to move into these old Jewish areas and old settlements. And now that the Israeli government has become a quisling government, they're being thrown out. It's disgusting. It's just disgusting. The Jews should have a civil war in Israel, as far as I'm concerned, and save their country before it disappears altogether. You are watching a nation committing suicide, and they're not... By the way, remember I call Israel a canary in the mine with regard to many different things? Just as Israel is committing suicide with regard to the settlers in the West Bank, so too are we committing suicide with regard to open borders. I'll be right back. Savage.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah.
Break on through to the other side. Well, he broke on through to the other side. He went over there in his 20s. He broke on through. Another drug addict. The ones who were drug addicts in the 60s who survived are now mayors, governors, senators. They broke through to the other side. Most of them, though, went to Hollywood. That's why you have the pollution that comes out of the sewer pipe. Oh, yeah, they went over there. Take a look at the products they're putting out. Whereas once Hollywood was 100% patriotic. It's interesting that movies were all patriotic. They all become anti-American. Hardly a movie ever comes out that is positively pro-American. How do you explain that? Is it that the country is so bad or that they're so warped? I'll let you figure it out. And if you say it's the country is so bad, how come they're able to make the movie if the country's so bad? In other words, if the country was so bad, there would be a state of mind and a police state where they couldn't make such a movie. So it's their minds. They're warped from the drugs. Don't you understand that? Whatever. Forget about it. Hawaii, Cassandra, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Aloha, Michael. You are right about the ko'olaus. You can basically see them everywhere from the island.
Yeah, wherever you go on the windward side, you can see the ko'olaus. The writer makes it sound like it's a special view, and they are very dramatic, but this is an example of journalism. So where in Kailua is this?
Okay, well, first of all, I think that Obama's probably going to be staying at the old Rockefeller estate, which has been redone, and a friend of mine used to own it. I think they sold it for somewhere like 21 or 28 million, some bizarre number. But the people that now have it, I believe, rent it out, and it seems fitting that that's where he would be staying, so I'm sure that...
That's correct. That's where all good Fabian socialists should go, is to the Rockefeller estate. Well, look, you need to have a magnificent place in order to plot the revolution, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I'm one of the only conservatives here. I feel like a pariah.
What, you live in Kailua?
I actually live in Ka'ava, which is towards the North Shore, but my daughter...
Oh, I know Ka'ava. I remember very well. Very local area, isn't it, still?
Yes.
Are you of Hawaiian descent or Caucasian descent?
I'm Caucasian, but I'm fascinated by the culture. So, and in fact, I wanted to tell you that the Hawaiians have a phrase for a knowing that somebody would have in their soul. And you have that knowing. It's called na'au. And they say it comes from sort of your pico area, your belly button area. And I wanted to tell you that I consider you one of the great pop prophets of our time, and I don't say that lightly.
What do they call the guys who had the insights in Hawaii? They were Hawaiian what were they called, kahunas?
Kipa.
Who?
A kahuna.
A kahuna, right? But they were sort of the medicine men. The medicine men.
Kahuna la'aulapa'a were the ones that did the medicine.
Oh, you speak the lingo pretty good. I love the Hawaiian language. It's a beautiful language. It's very hard for an English speaker to learn because of all of the stops in the language. But it's a magnificent full language. People don't understand that it's a magnificent language. How long did it take you to learn Hawaiian?
I've been here 10 years, but I've been coming for 20 before I moved here. So quite a while.
And did you study it formally? I'm sorry, I had to get up for a minute and get the dog under control.
Oh, that's okay. He's so cute. I've seen him on your website. What a dog.
Have you seen Teddy's picture on the front of Psychological Nudity? He's the most famous dog in the world now.
Yeah, he's adorable.
You know, now that Barney the dog is moving to Houston with the President and Mrs. Bush, he's going to be off the world stage. And do the Obamas have a dog? They have to get a dog. It's obligatory, isn't it, to show they're nice?
Yeah, I think they have to get a dog.
Maybe they'll get a cat because they could get a cat. They can get a lynx. They could always get a lynx in the White House. Lion, tiger. Has any president ever had a cat in the White House rather than a dog?
Michael, the next time you're in Hawaii, you come look me up in Ka'ave. Everybody knows Cassandra. You just come find me. I'll take you on a tour.
Now, you don't own the Italian restaurant that was there years ago, do you? Florence's?
No, I know which one you're talking about, though.
Is it still there? Is that place still there?
No.
You remember the one I'm talking about from many years ago? The owner was a former pilot in the Italian Air Force in World War II. Do you know the whole story there?
Oh, no, I don't think we're talking about
that. Oh, well, I won't get into it, but that's another story for another day. I have so many stories that I could tell that I've yet to tell. Oh, yeah, it's a funny thing. How do I have so many stories? How in the world can I have so many stories to tell? I don't really have I don't know. I just am open to life. There's a lot of stories out there. In other words, if you bicycle to the local town or mall and you almost get run over by a woman in an eco car, who when you say, hey, lady, slow down, and she says, I hope you die, that's a story unto itself. She has an Obama bumper sticker, stop global warming, save Tibet. I love you, peace and love, let's all get along. She almost runs you over in a little eco car, and you scream, hey, lady, slow down, you almost killed me. And she says, I hope you die. That tells you a story. That's a story right there, isn't it? You scratch the surface of a liberal, and what do you find? Usually an hysterical fascist. And the only reason they're using liberalism is they're using it as a weapon. Just remember that. Remember that liberals use liberalism as a weapon to control you. Never forget it. This is the Savage Nation. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.